Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that we have seen in the past is how dependent we are, truly dependent we are on our Father in heaven. We need Him for our spiritual growth. We need Him for our life of obedience. We need Him for our daily bread. In fact, we need Him when it comes to our enemies. For as we saw last time, by ourselves, we are too weak even to hold our own for a moment. And that's weak, children. That's weak. Thus, we're spiritually unable to stand on our own. We're frail. We're weak. And that's something we know as believers continues our entire life, our entire sojourn in this world. But even though we pray this prayer, this Lord's Prayer, and all its various petitions in weakness and in humility, we see a powerful contrast here at the end, and in many ways an encouragement to prayer. A powerful contrast, for though we pray as weak Christians, we end our prayers with confidence and certainty in our God. We end our prayers with confidence and certainty in our God. And that's what we want to look at today as we close out Lord's Day 52. And we want to do so with this theme. Weak Christians end their prayers with strong confidence. Weak Christians end their prayers with strong confidence. We are a confident people even though we are a weak people. And we'll see that we do first because we know who our Father is. We end our prayers in confidence because we know who our Father is. And secondly, because we know what our Father does. We know who our Father is and we know what our Father does. We end our prayers with confidence. Now, congregation, at first, we might not realize the significance of the line, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." In fact, it is considered to be disputed by many due to a few Greek manuscripts, some of the older Greek manuscripts that do not contain this. And as a result, it is often not included in the body of the Lord's Prayer itself. And as with our translation and many of translations, and thus it is put in a footnote at the bottom of the page or in the middle column of your Bible. But then, though some question its inclusion in the prayer, it is indeed in keeping with the truth of Scripture as a whole. And it's viewed by the Catechism as being the very words of Christ, and rightly so. Rightly so. The vast majority of manuscripts include this, even though a few do not. For this verse helps us to come to a proper conclusion, a fitting conclusion, a reverent conclusion to this beautiful and yet humble prayer of dependence to our Father. In fact, these words remind us of just why we can have confidence when we pray the Lord's Prayer, even though we're weak and dependent upon God. For when we say, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," what we're saying is this: Father, I make all these requests of you. I bring them before your mighty throne because as my king, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. I bring them before your mighty throne because yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. In other words, we bring these petitions to God and have confidence in them because of who He is. Because of who He is. Because He is our King. Because He is Almighty. He is all-powerful. And because He is one who is due all glory because of who He is. Because of who He is. And that's what that little word "for." "For thine is the kingdom." That's what that points to. It reminds us that we can have such confidence when we come to God in our prayers. We pray these six petitions for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. It's a wonderful confession, and it should be in our Bibles. And that's why it's important to always think about what you're saying when you pray. It's why it's always important to think about what you're saying when you pray. for what you're making here with these words. It's a great confession about your Father in heaven. You're making a bold declaration about Him. This is not simply some noble way of ending your prayer. No, no, it's much more than that. This is a declaration about why you're praying to Him. About why you're saying that He is the King and He has the power and He has the glory and He is due all glory. These are powerful words and not something that we should just say out of habit or custom or routine. They're powerful words. They're God-glorifying words. In fact, they ought to be great encouragements for prayer. These closing words. For we don't come to a God in prayer with timidity or uncertainty. No, no, we know who He is. And we come thus boldly and confidently before His throne. He is the King, and we indeed have our hope in Him. But what specifically, beloved, are we saying when we use these words? What do we mean? Well, when we confess thine is the kingdom, what we're confessing is the Father's kingship, our God's kingship. We're confessing His divine rule and dominion over all things. That's what we're confessing. Thine is the kingdom. We're acknowledging Him to be the great King over creation. As Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. He is the King. He owns all things. And because He does, we have confidence that He will provide for our needs. We have confidence, for He is a faithful King. He is a good and a just King, and He's far greater than any earthly leader or government you can find. For He does not fail. He does not falter. He does not waver. No, He continues to provide for us at all times and in every way. He does. And as the Catechism says, we have made these requests of You because as our King, You want to give us what is good. As our King, You want to give us what is good. He's the King, and we're the people. And thus, for the sake of His covenant in Christ and out of His rich love, He provides for us. He provides for us, and because of who He is, we pray. And we pray with confidence. We pray, for we don't pray to a weak God. We don't pray to one of many gods that might be out there. We pray to the King of heaven. We pray to Him who has the rule of all things. Thus, when we pray, we are to be mindful of that, that we pray to the King, for thine is the kingdom, the rule, the dominion over all. But also notice that when we pray, we pray, thine is the kingdom and thine is the power. The power. For as our King, our Father is willing to provide for all of our needs. But because He is true and living God, children, He is more than able to provide. He's more than able to provide. As the Catechism also says, we have made all these requests of You because as our all-powerful King, You not only want to, but are able to give what is good. You not only want to, but you're able to give what is good. You're able. Dear friends, when you pray, do you have that confidence in His power, in God's power, in God's ability? Sometimes we think that when God doesn't answer us immediately, or when He doesn't send the answers we want, that He's not able to do it. Not chuckling up there for God, He blew that. That's how some people think. And for some reason, God can't answer. Or for some reason, God is held up and He can't act now. Or for some reason, God can't make up His mind. Or maybe that God is not able to do what I want. That's not true. That's not true. God is more than able to answer your prayer. He is more than able to fulfill your requests. He's more than able, for He is all-powerful. He has power, infinite power, explosive power. We mentioned before that Greek word from which we get our word dynamite. We mentioned that, I think, in our 2 Peter series back in chapter 1, verse 3. It's powerful, explosive power. That's the kind of power referred to here. The same power by which God created all things through His Son. The same power by which He breathed through His nostrils and parted the Red Sea. The same power in which He raised Christ from the dead is that same power He uses to answer our prayers today. It is the power. The power. That is the greatest of all powers. The best of all powers. This is what God wields and what He uses for our good, for our benefit, children. For us. And yet, as we know, just because He has such power doesn't mean He's going to answer our prayers the way we want. We know that too. We know that too, for as we saw in the third petition, we pray for His will to be done, don't we? We pray for His will to be done. We want His will to rule our lives. And so all of our prayers conclude, Thy will be done. We pray for God's power to be manifest in our various situations, but we end the prayer, Thy will be done. For we may not know what God's will is in a certain matter or situation or circumstance. We might not know, but we do know. We do know that He does indeed have the power to answer our prayers, to grant our request, if that is something that He feels is best for us and in keeping with His will for us. And again, as we said before, what an encouragement to prayer. What an encouragement to prayer, for if you have a God who can guide the planets, if you have a God who can command the waters and even raise the dead, can He answer your prayers? Can He answer your prayers? He'd be a pretty pathetic God. He could only do the hard things and yet not meet the needs of His people. And yet our God is all-powerful. Our God is almighty. And our blessed Lord Jesus Christ wants that to be ever in our minds when we pray. He wants that to be in our minds. He wants us to have that confidence about our Father and the power that He has. He wants us to have that assurance in our daily lives as we go forth offering up our petitions for His glory and for our needs. Because we know that we're weak and we can't stand even for a moment on our own, but our God is powerful. And He can provide for our needs. And the Lord Jesus wants us to remember that and to keep that in our hearts. For Thine is the kingdom, Thine is the power. And then there's the last thing we confess here in these concluding words, and that is, Thine is the glory. Thine is the glory. And simply what this means, beloved, is that when we make these requests of our God, we do so ultimately not for us, but for His glory. We make these requests. We offer up these six petitions of the prayer for His glory. As the Catechism says, we have made all these requests of You because Your holy name and not we ourselves should receive all the praise forever. Your name, O God, should receive the praise. Do you, dear people of God, pray with an eye to God's glory? Is that in your mind when you pray, that God would be glorified by what you pray and how you pray and what you pray for? Is that there in your mind? If you go back and look at these six petitions and read what the Catechism says, you'll notice that not only do they confess our dependence upon God, but also they seek to give glory to Him in what they say and how they say it. Glory to God. For you see, God is glorified in the humble and contrite manner by which we come before His throne in prayer, and He is glorified by what we request of Him. He's glorified in that. These are petitions, are they not, of this prayer that focus on Him, first and foremost. The first three specifically on Him, and the rest indirectly. The first three for His glory, for His the hallowing of His name, for His kingdom, for His will to be done. And in those petitions for our needs, ultimately they are for His glory because we ask for things that will help us in our service, in our work, and in our worship. Requests for food. Requests for forgiveness, requests for direction, requests for protection from the devil, all of which is meant to strengthen us and uphold us as his servants. Thus, dear friends, when you pray, have confidence, have assurance, for the God to whom you pray is the King. He is all-powerful, and he is deserving of glory forever and ever. Thus, beloved, in light of all of this, what confidence do you have when you end your prayers? What confidence do you have? Do you offer them up as a hopeful wish, praying that God just might answer, that he just might provide? Maybe, oh, I hope. Or do you come with confidence? Do you come with assurance with regards to your prayers? You might be weak, you might be faulty, but he's not. He's not. Do you see him as an all-powerful father, as a kingly father? Do you see him who is one who deserves all glory, even through the prayers you offer? Do you see him in that way, beloved? Well, the very fact that this is appended to the very end of the Lord's Prayer shows us that our Lord Jesus wants us to see that. He wants us to look at our Father in that way when it comes to prayer. He wants you to be reminded about this God to whom you pray. He wants you to have confidence when you begin your prayer, our Father who art in heaven. And he wants you to have confidence when you end the prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Have that confidence. Have that assurance as you end your prayers. For you know who your God is. For his is the kingdom and the power and the glory. You know who he is. And dear friend, if you're listening, such is not your hope. Such is not your confidence. If prayer to a holy God is the furthest thing from your mind, was for me at one time in my life. If it seems unimportant, if it seems unnecessary, prayer, that's for old people, for priests. Well, if that's your thought, if that's your thinking, then you don't know your need. You don't see your weakness. You don't see how you cannot stand for a moment. For of ourselves, we cannot stand in this life for a moment without Jesus Christ, nor can we stand at the end before God's mighty throne of justice and live. We can't. No, we need Christ. We need the grace of God. We need his salvation through his only begotten Son, that we might escape the wrath that is to come, and that we might know his favor, that we might know his love, and that we might know his provision for every need in life as our Father, both now and forevermore. May God so work in your heart that you may know him and live with the assurance that he is your Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. Thus we see that when we pray, we have confidence because of who God is. The King, the Mighty One, the One who is due all glory. But notice with me, lastly, we see that we have confidence when we pray because we know what our Father does. We know what our Father does. Now, congregation, as we've seen, who our Father is a tremendous source of confidence with prayer. I don't know about you, but praying to an almighty sovereign God gives me a lot more confidence than praying to a God that I can't trust from day to day, whose word's not eternal and is truth. I find a tremendous confidence in that with regards to prayer, because it's really hard to imagine that such a God would even take note of us. That such a God would even call us to pray to him. That such a God would even hear our prayers. For who is a God like this to look on puny people like us and to listen? In fact, as David says in Psalm 8, we can agree, who are you, O God, to set your mind upon us to visit man? We are not worthy of it. And yet our Father does listen. Our Father in heaven does hear us. In fact, Proverbs 15 verse 8 says, the prayer of the upright or the righteous person pleases him. Think about that. The prayer of the upright pleases Him. It pleases Him when His people pray to Him. He enjoys it when His people call upon His name in prayer, just as we enjoy it when our little ones come to us with all their needs. Daddy, I need this. Mommy, I need that. It pleases us, and we enjoy it. And because our Father hears us, and because we know that He hears us, we say, Amen, at the end of our prayers. We say, Amen, at the end of our prayers. As the Catechism says there, in question answer 129, Amen means this is sure to be. That's what Amen means, children. This is sure to be. In other words, I'm confident. I'm certain that God hears my prayer. This is sure to be. I'm confident. I'm certain. And it's interesting that the root word here for Amen or Amen in the original centralizes around the idea of truthfulness, around the idea of what is true or what is to be believed. That's at the core meaning, that which is truthful, that which is true, that which is to be believed. In fact, when you read Jesus' sayings, you may recall when He says, truly, truly, I say to you. Or in another version, He says, most assuredly, I say to you. What you're really reading there is, Amen, Amen, I say to you. That's what that word is in the Greek, Amen, Amen, I say to you. And what Jesus means when He says that is, this is something you can believe. This is the truth. This is for certain and not to be doubted. Amen and Amen. And so when you say Amen, beloved, at the end of your prayers, you too are expressing a certainty about what you pray to God. A certainty. Does it comfort you to know, dear friends, that your God, as holy and pure as He is, really does hear your prayers, that He does hear your prayer? Does it humble you to know that you express such confidence in your prayers when you say Amen at the end? You might not have thought about it that way. For as we said before, sometimes our prayers are more like wishes than requests or petitions. Sometimes we just pray hoping that God is going to hear and answer. Thus, maybe this means that we have to reevaluate how we pray. Maybe this means we have to reevaluate how we use that little word, Amen. Maybe it does. For if you say it, but you don't mean it, aren't you misusing God's name? If you have no confidence, if you have no assurance in your prayer, should you even say Amen at the end? Why say it if you don't mean it? And yet you see, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have confidence when we begin and when we end our prayers. He wants us to have confidence about these petitions that we bring before God's throne of grace. He wants us to have confidence. He wants us to be confident that God hears us when we pray for His name to be hallowed. He wants us to be confident when we pray for His kingdom to come. He wants us to be confident when we pray for His will to be done. When we pray for our daily bread, when we pray about forgiveness, when we pray about temptation, and when we pray about deliverance from the devil, He wants us to have confidence. He wants us to end our prayers with a hearty Amen. Because we know that our Father hears us when we pray and that He will respond. He will. He will. And beloved, if Jesus didn't want that for us, He would have had us end our prayer differently. He would have instructed us in another way, but He didn't. He didn't. For He wants us to say Amen at the end of our prayers and mean it, because we know who we pray to and we know what our God does. He hears us and He answers us according to His will. Amen, He says. Dear friends, do you have that kind of confidence when you end your prayers? Sometimes I must confess that I don't. I sometimes throw it up there as a hopeful wish, and that's wrong on my part. You have that certainty when you come to the end of the Lord's Prayer and say Amen. We're weak. We're sinful. We often don't. And yet the Catechism says something very interesting here in its answer in question answer 129. Something I think that is revealing about our own weakness, but at the same time very revealing about the Father to whom we pray. Notice what it says. This is sure to be. It is even more sure that God listens to my prayer than that I really desire what I pray for. Amen to that, isn't it? Amen to that. It is even more sure that God listens to my prayer than that I really desire what I pray for. In other words, as a sinner, I offer up these petitions to God. As a sinner, I come before His throne with my prayers. Prayers that are oftentimes not always confident. Prayers that oftentimes lack sincerity and humility. Prayers that oftentimes lack focus and lack true godly motives and reasons for why I pray. Simply put, even though I might not always pray as I should, offering up imperfect prayers to a perfect God, He still hears me. And He still hears me. Why? Because of my work? Because of my righteousness? No. No. Because of Christ. Because of Jesus. Because of my Lord. Because of that perfect sacrifice offered on the cross for me. Because of the fact that He was raised from the dead for me and ascended into the heavens for me. For He has opened up a new and living way for me, that is through His body, as Hebrews 10 verse 20 says, so that I may come to my Father in prayer. That I may come to my Father in prayer. And that means, beloved, that I can come to my Father again and again in prayer, faults, sins, and all, and know that He hears me. And know that He hears me. For I have more certainty in that than that I actually desire what I pray for. Isn't God gracious? You don't deserve an audience with Him. Well, I don't deserve an audience with Him, and yet He hears us because of Christ and His glorious work on our behalf. How humbling it is to have such a King. How humbling it is to have such a Heavenly Father that we can come to Him again and again in prayer and know that He hears us because of Christ and what He has done for us. And so, beloved, as you use the words of this prayer, or as you offer up your own petitions in various forms to God, keep in mind the words that you use. Be specific in the language that you offer up to God. And if you use the Lord's Prayer in your daily routine, pray with that significance of these words in mind. Keep in mind what you say. Don't just mindlessly utter these words. Think about it. Think about what you're confessing when you come to the end of this prayer and you say, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." For if you use the Lord's Prayer, you're to pray with confidence. If you use the Lord's Prayer, you're to pray with certainty to the God to whom you address. You believe that God will do the things that you ask of Him. You don't throw it up there as a chance thing that He might hit it, that He might answer you. No. No. It's for certain. It's sure to be. Amen and amen. And your Lord Jesus wants you to keep that in mind as you use the words of the Lord's Prayer, that you would keep that in mind as you formulate your own prayers and the language that you use to your Father in heaven. Yes, what confidence we have for prayer, beloved. For our Father is the great King. He has unlimited power, and He is worthy of all glory. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Let us pray these petitions in faith. Let us pray these petitions in confidence, and let us end our prayers with the certainty that our Father hears us, not because of us or for our sakes ultimately, but because of Jesus Christ and for the glory of His name. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Well, beloved, let us at this time turn in response to number 431.